comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks, and welcome to the Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this beautiful place we call Earth. Thank you for being here at the Kevin Smith Show.
From sea to shining sea throughout the solar system and extending to interstellar regions beyond.
Oh, I'll tell you, just when you think things are going smoothly, huh? Thanks for being here. As he said, from sea to shining sea. And throughout the universe, wherever you may be, thanks for being here. It's talk radio like nowhere else on Earth. It is the show where you matter. That's not just a cliche either. It's the truth. This is the show where you are the focus. We're here because you have a right to know. Now, we sent out the K-Files today. Normally, we don't do that till Friday. But I know how some of you, you don't check your email every day, right? And 2 or 3 days go by, and then you check. And then a lot of times, you know, you find out you missed something. Well, I didn't want you to miss the end of the earth. It's supposed to happen on Saturday. So I wanted you to get this in time for you to read it. My article about the end of the earth. According to one fellow, Saturday is the day. Actually, what happens, well, we'll get into that. We'll get into that tonight. I am going to talk about it. I had not planned to. I've had people asking me to talk about this really for a couple of months. And I just really didn't want to get into this. I didn't want to get into it because, a lot of reasons, but I just didn't want to give this guy any publicity. But whereas, according to him, the end is upon us, I thought maybe we'll go ahead and talk about it, and we'll see what there is there. We've got a lot of stuff happening this weekend. Are you aware of that? I mean, first of all, for the past couple of days, we have been being informed that the Roswell crash, you know, the UFO crash out at Roswell, was actually Joseph Stalin's toys. We're going to talk about that and see what we think about that. I'll tell you what I think about it tonight, and then you can express what you think about it. We're going to talk about the end of the world. That's coming up this weekend. And then on the 22nd, which would be Sunday, National Geographic is going to air a show on television having to do with an alien invasion, and it's all about how would we respond to it and could we win. So that's pretty interesting. And then there's supposed to be on this weekend as well a UFO invasion hoax. Staged by the hacker group Anonymous, or at least that is the story. So we got a busy weekend, real busy weekend. If that end of the world thing happens, maybe the rest of that won't matter. But we got a real busy weekend coming up. So we went ahead and sent the K-Files out so that you would be informed ahead of time before the end arrives. We'll be back right after this. right. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. And this is sort of a, you know, I know it's Thursday, but, you know, it's kind of a countdown towards the end of the world here coming up for the weekend. I sent an article about that in the K-Files. We sent out a special edition. And if you haven't yet opened and read your K-Files, you need to open it and you need to read that article. Okay, and then you need to ask yourself, why are you so behind in not reading the K-Files? That should be the number one thing you do every week. I mean, you ought to be looking for it, and as soon as it hits that inbox, man, that's what you've got to do right then. Drop everything else and read the K-Files. It's that important. All right, out in California, California is kind of an interesting place. It's the kind of place that the rest of the United States looks at, the rest of the population of the United States looks at California. We kind of scratch our heads, raise our eyebrows, and kind of go, what? Well, out in California, and look, those of you who live in California, I've got great friends there. And I've been to California on a number of occasions, but you got to admit, there's some pretty weird stuff that comes out of California. Well, anyway, there is a preacher in California by the name of Harold Camping. Mr. Camping is the founder and, I guess, the CEO or president of a ministry, I think it is called Family Broadcasting or Family Radio Ministry, something like that. Anyway, in 1994, he predicted the end of the world, and that didn't work out real well. But he says he's got it right this time, and he has actually been making waves. I found where CNN has reported on him. There are reports that have shown up in the Yahoo News about him. This time he's kind of made waves. And I know, aside from the news feeds, I know that he's been making waves because I've been getting email from various people around the world telling me, you really ought to take a look at this, and it'll be a link to a video or a web page where Harold Camping is presenting his case for the end of the world, May the 21st, 2011. Well, as you know, that's just 2 days from now. And he even gives a time of day. I forget. I think he said, I don't remember, but he does give the time of day when it's going to happen. Now, the story goes like this. Oh, and by the way, this time around, he's got billboards up all over the place. He's got people with bumper stickers all over their cars. He's got signs on the side of public transportation. And end of the world, May the 21st, 2011. And then he says, the Bible guarantees it. Well, as you can imagine, while some people have looked at that and just chuckled, other people have looked at that, and it has scared the devil out of them. A pun intended. It really has. It really has scared a lot of people. And I don't get outraged by that. I mean, you know, people need to be scared of some things. And every once in a while, although I think this is probably not one of those occasions, every once in a while, being scared by something that really could be dangerous and really could happen, it's good. It kind of gives you a wake-up call and makes you pay attention. I don't think this falls into that category, though. But nevertheless, it has scared a lot of people, and I've gotten some email from people who are really concerned about it. So, what about Harold Camping and this prediction, the Bible guarantees it? Now, the way we're going to do this tonight, this is open line, which means we're going to open the telephone lines, but it doesn't mean that it's open topic. Okay, this is not bring your own topic night. We'll do, who knows, we may do one of those tomorrow, but this is, we want to kind of stick with the topics here tonight. And the telephone lines are open, and we are going to invite you to tell us what you think about the end of the world coming up on May the 21st. Now, the way the story goes, Mr. Camping says that there is an event called the Rapture of the Saints. Now, in evangelical theology, the rapture, although this word is never used, not even one time in the Bible, it is a concept that is taught by the evangelicals. It comes from a Greek word called, the Greek word is harpazo, and it means snatching away. That appears in the Bible once in the New Testament. And but anyway, what's supposed to happen is on May the 21st, according to Harold Camping, this rapture will take place. Now, the rapture is all of a sudden, all of the real, true believers all over the world just poof, disappear. They don't die. They just disappear because they have been caught up or snatched away to meet the Lord in the air. Now, that's actually, some of those words are actually in the Bible. They'll be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And that's that Greek word harpazo, caught up. It means to snatch it suddenly. Well, he says that's going to happen on May the 21st. And that begins the rapid, rough ride to the end for the rest of the people that are left on the planet. Because not everybody gets to go. Only the true believers get to go. And everybody else then basically has to face hell on earth. He says 5 months from May the 21st, 5 months in October 2011, God will put an end to it all. And he will destroy the entire planet. There will be no more earth. Well, I guess you know I don't buy that. I mean, even if you don't know me personally, but you've listened to the show for some time, you know I don't buy that. But it's not just, you know, there are people that say, well, that sounds crazy. I'm not in that boat. I'm not just passing this guy off as a nut. I'm not in that boat at all. There are reasons why I don't believe it. The main reason is I can read. Look, I don't want to sound overly blunt. I don't want to sound rude. I don't want to sound impolite. I don't care if I sound politically incorrect. But I can read. That's the number one reason no one should buy an ounce of Harold Camping's elixir. I mean, how long have you had eyes? Look, let's just be honest and open and blunt about this. How long have you had eyes? And do they work? If they do, then this applies to you. I've had eyes now for 57 years. How long have you had eyes? Can you read? If you can, then why haven't you read this for yourself? What is it about you that makes you want to be ignorant? You see, I told you it would be blunt. But ignorance of the facts, that's what scares people. I mean, you can't scare me by waving a gun in my face that's loaded with blanks if I know it's loaded with blanks. That doesn't scare me. But ignorance is the fuel of fear. So Camping says that the Bible guarantees that May the 21st is the end. That's it, buddy. And if you don't get to go in that first load, you ain't going. It's over. The earth's going to be dead in 5 months. Now, you know, you either have to say, I think this guy's a nut, or your other response could be, I don't think he's a nut, but I don't believe what he says because I can read. Or your other response is, you haven't read, you don't know, and you just got the hell scared out of you. So if you've got eyes and you can read, you don't have an excuse for not knowing. You have a reason. Reason is you've been too lazy to read. So read the information and you will see that Camping is wrong. Mr. Camping is wrong. Now, I don't know, you know, he may sincerely believe what he's talking about. I don't know. Or he may know it's wrong and he's just enjoying the fame and the fortune. The reports are, I don't know that this is true, but there are reports that the money is flowing to him like a river. From people who are cashing in their bank accounts, they're cashing in their retirement funds, sending him all of that money to help him spread the word. Well, it's a matter of freedom of religion, and, you know, if you want to send him your money, I think you should be free to do so. But I don't think you should expect that on May 22nd, Mr. Camping is going to be issuing refunds. I think on May 22nd, when Mr. Camping and all his followers wake up and they're still here, I think it's going to be pretty devastating for a lot of people who have really, really thrown their faith behind what this guy says. But, you know, you're free to do that. I will tell you that there's no possibility that May the 21st is the end of the world. There's no possibility that Mr. Camping is right. Well, look, we could get hit by a comet or an asteroid or something like that, but it won't be the end of the world. And I don't think even that's going to happen. But how can I say that I know for sure Mr. Camping is wrong? Again, because I can read. You know, if you do your own reading, then people can't come along waving guns with blanks and scare the hell out of you. Do your own reading, and you will find that this end of the world scenario that's in the Bible, it's there. It's there. But it gives a series of events that will take place. And after that series of events takes place, there is still another 1,000 years before it's over. So even if May the 21st has some kind of significance in this scenario, which I don't think it does, you still got another 1,000 years if the Bible is true. So when Camping says that the Bible guarantees that the end of the world is going to happen, those are his words. The end of the world is going to happen May the 21st. When he says the Bible guarantees that, I can guarantee you it's 100% wrong. On the other hand, I won't guarantee you that because you need to read it for yourself, and then you won't be scared. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, Kevin. It's Mike. Thank you.
Hello, Mike.
You know, we hear this thing, as you well know, ever so many years, and the world shall stand 1,000 years, but it won't stand thousands of years. And so when 2000 rolled over, those people had to back off. now they're trying again. Like you said, they're ignorant, because that same book that they're reading, it talks of the end times, the Revelations. It also warns of false prophets arising here, there, and everywhere. And these people are so enmeshed in letting someone else tell them how to believe that they don't even recognize false prophets.
Yeah, and you know, I don't want to get into dogma and doctrine and theology, but if, you know, I don't mind talking about the actual words that are in this thing they call the Bible. The actual words say, Jesus is quoted in there as saying, when they ask him, when will the end be? He said, you know what? I don't know. The angels don't know. Only the Father knows. Okay? And so, you know, they say they follow this guy, Jesus, and he says, the angels don't know. I don't know. But Harold Camping knows? That's, come on. That's inconceivable.
Well, I don't want to point fingers at anybody and do a personal attack, you know that, and you're not either. But at the same time, we can't be so afraid of being destroyed or left behind that we just, as you say, empty our coffers. Now, you know, I was going to send you a great big bundle of money, but now that we're not going to be here, I think I'm going to hang on to it.
Well, you know, I'm not pointing fingers either. I am pointing evidence. It is Mr. Camping who brought up the statement that the Bible guarantees that the world is going to end. And that's, he's using the Bible as his evidence, and I am simply saying the evidence says he's lying.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, people say that the Bible is finished, but it also says that we are the temple of God, and it also says that all Scripture comes from God, and that book is not finished. As long as there's one single individual on this planet walking around, experience continues and history is made.
There you go. Mike, thanks for the call, buddy. I got to run. I do appreciate the call. And the phone lines are open. You can call at any point, you know, if you've got a comment. Maybe you think I'm around the corner. You can say so. We'll be back. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. It is open line tonight. It's not BYOT, but the lines are open right now. And at the moment, I am talking about this fellow out in California, Harold Camping, who says that May the 21st is the end of the world. The Bible guarantees it. Like I said earlier, I didn't want to do a show about this. I had people writing to me and asking me to do a show about it, and I have avoided it because I didn't want to give this guy any publicity. But he got it anyway. He got the publicity anyway, and CNN has reported on him, and some others have. And he's all over YouTube. There are billboards up in California and I guess in other places around the world. There are people who are working for the cause, trying to get everybody in line so May the 21st, they won't be left behind. Well, look, you can expect that if I say something about it, I'm going to get a response from somebody that's a follower of Harold Camping, right? Wednesday, I brought this up, and I mentioned it, and I said, I don't think he's right. You know, he might be, but I don't think he's right. And May the 21st, I'm going to be in our chat room, which I will be, and I hope you'll join me there. It's in the members area. And you just go into the chat room at showtime. So whatever time this show comes on in your part of the world, that's the time to go into the chat room on May the 21st, and I'll be there. I'm going to spend a couple of hours in there, and I don't expect that there's going to be any great cataclysm. I think everything's going to be okay. The significance of May the 21st, I think, is that it comes before May the 22nd. I don't think anything else is going to happen. Nothing big, worldwide, earth-busting is going to happen. But, I mean, there's always the chance I could be wrong. However, I will tell you this. If on May the 21st the world comes to an end, we can all go out knowing that the Bible was wrong. Camping was right, but the Bible was wrong. Why? Because the Bible talks about that other 1,000 years that's coming up. All right? Now, on the other hand, if we wake up on May the 22nd, we can all wake up knowing Harold Camping was wrong. And this thing seems to have gathered steam. There are people sending a lot of money over there to his ministry. And, you know, I've been reading what people say about it. Folks have written in forums and blogs and stuff, and they've been saying things like, "This guy's a nut. He's a religious fanatic. He's, you know, I don't have that impression of this guy at all. My impression is that he's in full possession of all his faculties. I think he knows exactly what he is doing. In my opinion." If he is the Bible scholar he claims to be, then he knows he's wrong. Now, if that's the case, why would he be doing what he's doing? Well, he's 89 years old. 89 years old. You know, on May the 22nd, he can go on his radio show and he can say, "Well, folks, I was wrong. I've got to retreat to the wilderness now and pray about this." And he can ride off into the sunset with all the money. Legally. It could be. I mean, I'm not saying that's the case. I'm saying, in my opinion, that's what it looks like as a possibility here. He can simply retire in disgrace and keep the money. Pretty good retirement package he's got there. But you can expect, you know, when I said on Wednesday that I didn't think this would happen, and I'm going to be in the chat room. You could expect that I would hear from a Camping follower, and I did. I got an email from a Camping follower. It's very gracious. But it did say that I should not take the Bible and Judgment Day so flippantly. Well, I'm not taking the Bible flippantly, and I'm not taking Judgment Day flippantly. I'm taking Harold Camping's prophecy flippantly. And why? Because it's provably wrong. See, I cannot prove to you that the Bible is right and that it's accurate, and I wouldn't try to do that. But if you tell me that it says XYZ, I can prove whether it says XYZ. You tell me that a certain thing is going to happen and the Bible guarantees it. It says this is going to happen. Well, I can read, and I can find out whether it says that this is going to happen. You can, too. And that's why, you know, I was blunt about it when I said, "How long have you had eyes?" If you're scared, it may be because you've been too lazy to read. And, you know, there's this thing, people, they say, "Oh, but I can't understand the Bible." Oh, such nonsense. What do you think, it's written in some kind of special holy language and only priests and preachers can understand it? garbage. That's nonsense. It's just written in plain language. And if you can read a newspaper and understand what it says, you can read what's in the Bible and understand what it says. And then you don't have to be scared. Okay? When someone's firing blanks, you don't have to be scared. And on this issue, camping's firing blanks. But you know something? Now, I can some of you are going to be so upset with me. You are scared out of your wits right now. You are intimidated right now. You're shaking in your boots right now. You're so afraid because you don't want to call and you don't want to express anything about this because we're talking about the Bible. No, we're not. We're talking about Harold Camping. And Harold Camping is making claims that something is in the Bible and it is not there. And he's using that to scare the living hell out of people. But see, all we have to do is bring up the Bible, and, you know, I could bring up Democrat. I could bring up Republican. I could bring up Libertarian. And you'd be all over that. You'd be on that, man, like chickens on June bugs. You'd be calling in here, firing up the night sky. We mention the Bible, and you run for cover. What's the matter with you? What, you think there's some kind of magic spell on this book that it's going to hurt you somehow? Well, we have a brave soul here. So let's find out who it is. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin, this is Rusty from Michigan.
Oh, Rusty, are you scared?
No.
Okay, good.
No. I just started listening to you about 5 minutes ago, but I'm not scared. You're talking about that prophecy for Saturday, must be.
Yeah. He says the Bible guarantees Saturday's D-Day for us, and I'm saying it absolutely guarantees it is not D-Day for us. And I'm saying that Harold Camping is dead wrong. What do you think? Am I right or is he right?
I agree with you. It does not say, there's, by what I read in there, it says, you know, it cannot be Saturday.
Yeah, well, you know, we have this issue of another 1,000 years. If the Bible is correct, and I'm not saying it is, but Camping's the one that brought it up, so we have to examine. He says it guarantees, so we got to examine what it says. All right. You've got to have this formation of a one-world government. You got to have one-world economic system, a one-world religion. And then you've got to have this big battle that everybody talks about, the Battle of Armageddon. And then after that, the current power structure, the current paradigm is forever collapsed. And then you have 1,000 years of freedom and peace. Now, all of that's in the book of Revelation. So,
right.
If that's going, I don't know if that's going to happen, but if that's going to happen, how are you going to get 1,000 years done between now and October?
Well, you can't. It's impossible.
Yeah. So when he says that it's guaranteed, he says the Bible guarantees it. That's absolutely untrue.
What kind of baffles me is, after all, like the Heaven's Gate and different ones like that, why people are so ready to jump on someone else, Jim Jones. I mean, there's David Koresh, a lot of them. Why people are so quick to jump?
Well, I think it's for the same reason that there are so many people that are afraid. It's the ignorance. And, you know, in this case, there's really no excuse for it. You can read. I can read. And we're not stupid. So if we didn't read and we're ignorant, well, then, you know, we're subject to the fear. Somebody points a gun at us and we're ignorant of the fact it's got blanks in it. Yeah, we're going to be afraid. But if you know it's got blanks, you don't have to be afraid. And I think it is our own fault if we are ignorant of the facts when the facts are published.
Well, you know, I agree with your assessment that you're not saying whether the Bible, what it's saying is true, but what you're saying is if someone does follow it, then you can plainly see that the things that are supposed to come to pass already have not happened yet.
That's it. So I'm not campaigning for people to say, you know, to believe that the Bible is true. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is he brought it up and said that's his evidence. His evidence guarantees that the end of the world is going to be Saturday. Okay, I think it's fair then for us, the rest of us, to look at his evidence and see if it says that. And it does not say that.
Well, there's one more thing that would tell me whether he even believes it himself, and that is if he was getting rid of his possessions instead of holding on to them.
Well, the reports are his... reports are his bank account is growing.
Right. People are sending him money, you know, like you said in K-Files, I read that, and, you know, about him, you know, people sending him money to get the word out. Well, that's, you can bet his bank account's not going to be drained and his house isn't going to be sold by Saturday.
Well, that's true, and I bet he's not giving refunds on Sunday.
No. There's just been, now, see, where people have it, say, well, you know, they believe the Bible's true or any other religious book that might could be the Mayan, you know, however one interprets that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they, just people yell that it's going to be doomsday long enough, maybe one day it's going to be. Then they're going to say, well, see, we were right. Well, that's, it's been said how many millions of times, you know, since, well, you know, because I grew up with the Christian religion, I know that better, but, you know, it's been said thousands of times.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Hey, a break's taking over. I got to run. Thanks for the call. We'll be back. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We are open line and we are talking about several topics, but right now this thing with the end of the world coming up on Saturday, and we've got a couple of flash messages that have come in. We have a caller on hold. Let's go to the line and find out who we've got. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Tony from Denver.
Hello, Tony.
Yeah, well, I hope you're right, Kevin. I've got a concert, U2 concert down at Mile High Stadium Saturday. I don't want to miss out.
Well...
But I kind of want to take the other side of this, though, Kevin. I think what the preacher out there is saying is not necessarily all that bad, even though I think you're right, it could be proven wrong. But we have a tendency to string one day after another and getting sort of a complacency about ourselves where, you know, we don't take every day and live it to, you know, the fullest that we could.
Well, I don't disagree with that at all. I would disagree with the notion that scaring the hell out of somebody is them living their life to the fullest. And if people are listening who have had the hell scared out of them, it's partly their fault too. It's partly the fault of a false prophecy, and it's partly the fault of people being too lazy to open their eyes and read the information for themselves and know for themselves whether it says what he says it says or not. And so their partnership, it's a partnership in fear. And, you know, I frankly, that's kind of psychotic.
Well, fear could be a good motivator, Kevin. I have Jehovah Witness people that come into my business all the time, mm-hmm. and my employees are really worried about them. They don't want to go talk to them, but I go talk to them, and they read me passages out of the Bible, and they always tell me about the end time and, you know, what's going to happen, and it's coming soon, and this is a prelude to that, and it's right around the corner. But, you know, they're trying to scare me in a way, but in a good way, to get me to read the Bible and maybe show up at their church or whatever they call it.
Mm-hmm.
My wife does the
Kingdom
same thing
Hall.
When I go to church with her.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, if that motivates someone to read the information for themselves, then I think that's good. But, you know, I don't disregard the Bible. I don't disregard any book that people consider to be a holy book. It doesn't mean I believe everything about it that they do. But, you know, I have respect for it if they have respect for it. But whenever someone aims something at me and says this is how it is and the Bible says so, well, I'm not stupid. I can read. I can go find out whether it says it or not. And the same thing is true with the Quran. You know, there are a lot of people that are just terrified of the Quran. They've never read it. And why be afraid? You know, read. And then you know whether it says what they're claiming or not. And whether you believe what it says is another issue. But what does it say? You know, and the very first place, the very first position is, what does it say? And, you know, that clears out a whole lot of this garbage if you just have an understanding of basically what it says, not what the preachers and priests and professional religionists told you it says. Because Camping's a professional religionist. He earns his living that way. And he's telling us it's over on Saturday. And the Bible guarantees it. Now, if he just said that it's over on Saturday, I'd say, okay, that's his opinion. However, when he says, and the Bible guarantees it, well, okay, now he's tossed some evidence onto the table. And it's fair for us to cross-examine that evidence.
Yeah, you're right, Kevin. One thing we got to keep in mind, though, is take your wife in your arms and give her a big hug and kiss and tell her you love her and do the same to your kids and the rest of your family. Do it every day. Don't put things off and think that you always have tomorrow to do what you should have done today. That's all I really wanted to say.
Well, you are right about that. You're absolutely right about that. Hey, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
All right. Okay, 623-444-5889, or if you're outside the USA and outside of Canada, we have, you can call us, and we'd love that, or you can use our flash message feature on the website. Just go over to my website, kevinsmithshow.com, scroll down, you see the picture about tonight's show, and right above that picture you'll see the link for a flash message, but you have to be outside the USA and outside of Canada. We have a couple of flash messages we're going to get to after this call. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Leslie, and I'm calling from Oregon.
Hello, Leslie.
Hi. Well, I was listening to your show, and I was just going to look at it kind of, I guess it'd be more from a kid's perspective. You know, growing up, I was raised in Arkansas, and, you know, down south, as you could probably imagine, I grew up and everyone, but a lot of times people would, you know, say, oh, the world's going to end, such and such, just like anywhere. And I got to tell you, it scared the crap out of me. It was horrible. I mean, I would hear people talking about how, well, at least my opinion is how wonderful it was, you know, that the world was going to come to an end. And, you know, for a kid, that that was really scary. So, you know, I could just imagine, you know, all the kids hearing about all this stuff, and yeah, poor things.
Well, it's terrifying for them. You know, if take a look at how it affects adults. It doesn't affect all of us the same, but there are a great number of adults who are terrified of things like this. Oh, my God. May the 21st is supposed to be the end of the earth. And you know, they're going crazy. Do you remember in the movie Independence Day, Jeff Goldblum is some kind of computer expert for a cable company, right? Or a satellite TV company.
Mm-hmm.
And when he figures out that the aliens are using our own satellites to send their signals to coordinate an attack, everybody starts going nuts. And you remember there's this guy in his office that's saying, I got to call my lawyer. I got to call my broker. Oh, I got to call my mom. You remember that?
Yeah, I do.
That's the way a lot of people are when they hear stuff like this. And it's 10 times worse for a kid.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, I know this sounds horrible, but the reality is that really any second it could be the last day for any of us, you know?
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah, so kind of like, you know, I think it was Tony earlier,
mm-hmm.
you know, just each day, you know, tell the people you love them and, you know, live it like it's your last. I mean, why worry about it? Because what's meant to be is going to happen. That's what I think, you know.
I think you're right. And, you know, if you knew my dad, he's gone. He's been gone now for a number of years, about 15 years. If you knew my dad and then you compared him to me, you would wonder how did I happen. Because he was very religious and at the same time very open-minded. And he used to say, son, you got to live till you don't.
Yep.
And there's just a lot of wisdom in that very simple statement.
I agree.
You got to live till you don't and make the best of every second. Hey, Leslie, thanks for the call.
Great, thanks.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. Well, we'll have to get to the flash messages when we come back from break because we have a break coming up here in just a moment. And I want to get to a couple of more stories here tonight before we run out of time. So we'll do that on the other side of this break. Listening to the Kevin Smith Show, it's the prelude to the end of the world. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, good evening, Kevin. It's Terry from Ohio.
Hello, Terry.
How are we doing tonight?
Doing good, sir.
Last night on the planet.
Yeah, we got two nights left. Two nights left, and then it's over.
Yeah, I just wondered why we are saying that that's a bad thing. You know,
saying that what's a bad thing?
You know it's time's up, and you know God's bringing us back home, and who's to say that's a bad thing?
Well, I don't guess it would be, but that isn't what he's saying. What he's saying is he's set out some specific things that are going to happen. And one of those is the rapture. And then that's where all of the true believers get caught away. They kind of get, you know, it's kind of like beam me up, Scotty. They're gone. All right, and then which, by the way, I'm not making fun of that, because that's sort of described like that in the Bible. Okay, and then he says we've got 5 months, and in October God's going to wipe out the whole planet. And the problem with this is when he tacked this onto it, he says,
Bible
the Bible guarantees it. That's what he says. Okay?
Yeah, I'm kind of curious about what Bible he's reading out of.
Well, yeah, I'm curious about that myself. He says the Bible guarantees it. Well, now, once you throw that into the mix, you've said, that's my evidence. It is only fair for all the rest of us to examine the evidence and see, does it say that? And I'm going to tell you something. I'm not religious, but if it said that, I would be here on this show saying, you know what, folks, Harold Camping is telling this. I've examined the evidence. It says exactly what he says it says. I'd be on the air telling people that.
Okay.
But I have examined the evidence, and I'm on the air telling people that is a load of manure. It does not say what he says it says. And lots of people are afraid of it. But like I say, that's their fault, because they didn't read and they chose to be ignorant. And if you choose to be ignorant, then you get the consequences of it. But a lot of people are sending their money to him, and a lot of people are afraid and all of this stuff. And, you know, I just think the guy's gotten so much publicity, and he's apparently gotten a lot of money out of this. I just think it needs to be exposed for what it is. And what it is, in my opinion, is fraud. Now, it's not just my opinion when I say that what he's telling is untrue. It's not accurate. That's absolutely the fact. What he's saying is not accurate. But I think he knows it's not. And that makes it fraud. That's just my opinion. But I think that's the case.
Yeah, I'm one to believe that. You know, from what I know of the Bible, I mean, I'm no Bible scholar, but I know that rapture stuff came about, what, in the 1800s or something, from a lady interpreting some kind of scripture. My mind flips me about what it is.
Well, it's only described once, and it's only mentioned once. But the word raptured isn't used. It says that his followers will be caught up to meet him in the air, and it uses the New Testament is written in Koine Greek, and the Koine Greek word mean that's used there means snatched away, and so it's like a real sudden gone, you know. But that's where the concept comes from. We need to say not all of the Christian denominations buy that. Not all the Christian denominations think that that's a valid theological point.
No, yeah, it's well, you know, again, my mind fails me, but I know that the Bible states in a verse that it says that something about cursed are those who teach my people to fly away to save their souls.
Yeah, I don't know where that would be.
Yeah, but it's in there. I believe it's in there. So I'll do it 100%.
Yeah, well,
I believe it's in there.
It may be. I don't recall reading it, but I don't recall reading a lot of things that I've read. I have to go back and read them again. Terry, I got to run along, man. Thanks for the call.
Sure. Take care, guys.
All right. Okay, I want to get to these flash messages, and we've got to get to these other stories as well. This is from Rafael in Brazil. And Rafael, bom dia. or, you know, I'm not sure what time it is where you are. Maybe it's Botarde. As Jordan Maxwell said, the Bible is the greatest story ever told. It is completely fiction. So is Harold Camping's story. He won't return people's money. He is ruining people's lives. But we all know, the Vatican has done worse with various abuses. Is he really worse than those guilty bishops? Harold Camping did forget to put a lot at the end of his new book, which will be his next excuse. Used as a question mark as an excuse for his last book. Okay. I'm Raphael, thanks for the flash message. I'm not prepared to say that it's all fiction. It's an ancient document. And we look at it through the filters and lenses of our modern minds. And that causes us not to understand some of the ways that it says things. We do understand what it says overall. There's no problem with that. But some of the idioms, some of the ways it says things, the ways it describes things, we're looking at it through modern eyes and modern English, and it was written in ancient Hebrew and Koine Greek a long, long time ago. I have a lot of respect for all ancient documents. I don't think they're all fiction, but I understand where you're coming from. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin, this is Mark from Los Angeles.
Hello, Mark.
And, well, you know, I wanted to make sure I got to talk to you before Saturday, just in case, but...
Mark, but, you know, you can call me Saturday or you can call me Sunday. Either way, it'll be okay. We're going to be here.
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to say, because I didn't read all of his story, but I read a little bit because I know it's kind of bogus. But the Bible does state that there's going to be false prophets, and guess what? He's a false prophet.
Well, now...
In a sense.
You know, I'm not going to defend Harold Camping, and what I'm about to say is not a defense. For me to say he's a false prophet would be for me to buy into doctrine and theology. But what I can say is he's made some statements that he says... The Bible guarantees it. So now he's identified what his evidence is. He said it's the Bible. And like I said, I'm not stupid. I can read.
Mm-hmm.
And when I read what the Bible says about the topics he's talking about, he is nowhere near base. It's not that he's way off base. He's not in the ballpark.
Yeah, he's in... not interpreting it, but he's taking it and making it read how he wants it to read.
Yeah, and you know, and he's using it. This is what you've heard me talk about this, Mark, about the difference between I've said there is the Bible and then there's religion. Mm-hmm. And so you can either take the Bible seriously or you can be religious. But you can't do both at the same time. And this is a good example of what I'm talking about. He is a religionist, and there are some very sincere, but I think misled people who are following his religion. And so they think what he says is true because they think the Bible says it, and they think it says it because he said it does. That's religion.
He's not making Kool-Aid. He's not making Kool-Aid, too, is he?
I hope not.
You know, because I have this weird feeling. Now, it's somebody, one of the callers, and I think he just mentioned, too, that he's making money. I've been kind of out of the picture for a while here, but that he's making money. He wrote a book and all that. So I have this weird feeling it's a promo for his book.
I hadn't thought about that. But, you know, what I have thought about, and I'm not saying, I'm not accusing him of this, and I'm not saying this is the case. I'm raising an eyebrow and saying, he's 89 years old. On May the 22nd, he can get up and say, well, I was wrong about that, folks. I'm sorry. I got to go pray about that now. Bye. And just walk away with all the money.
Yeah, and I'm going to write my second book now.
Yeah.
I knew why I was wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he wouldn't be the first to do this. And, you know, I hope there's going to be a lot of people crushed. Crushed by this.
I mean, I think everybody, if they hear this, you know, even myself, you know, I said, well, what if, you know, my wife's leaving on a plane going to Colorado on Saturday, you know, like, what if, you know, but then I'm thinking, you know, in the back of my head, what am I thinking that for, you know?
She's going to get to her destination just fine. There'll be no problem.
Yeah. And now I noticed in this other article that I just read really quick while I was listening to your show that he also states that there's going to be major earthquakes around the world.
Well, duh.
See that too? Yeah.
No.
All at the same time.
You know, we've been having like, what, one major earthquake a week now for a year?
Yeah.
You know,
well,
I mean,
it's going to be all around the world at the same time. You know, kind of like that movie.
Oh well. I can't say there's not going to be some great cataclysm on May 21st. There probably will be. There's one every day somewhere. You know, there's a tornado, or there's a cyclone, or there's an earthquake, or you know, somewhere on this planet there's a big cataclysm just about every day. So I can't say there won't be, but I'm telling you, folks, it ain't the end of the earth. This is not an earthbuster. Camping is wrong.
Well, the Bible states that the world is just not going to end like boom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if he wants to quote the Bible states that.
Yeah, it's going to be like a woman in labor.
Yeah.
A woman in labor, you know, it's not like she says, well, I think I have a baby now. Bam! She has the baby. No, it doesn't happen that way. I know, I mean, I'm a daddy. I haven't been through it, but I stood by and watched it. Mm-hmm. And I've stood by and watched it now four times. And so, you know, it starts out with little twinges of pain, and then it gets a little more, and then it becomes more and more, and then it becomes faster and faster, and then finally, you know, the baby arrives. And it describes this end of the era. It describes it in that way. It's going to be like that. And that's what we're watching. We're watching things pick up in intensity and frequency. So, you know, he says there's going to be earthquakes. And like I said, duh.
Yeah, exactly. One thing you forgot to mention, though, about the birth pains, just before she has the baby, her head starts spinning around, too, and she says, get it out. You know, as she's got one hand around.
I thought what they said is, I'm killing you.
Yeah, because I've been through it four times, too, and yeah. Every time it's, you know, like that. I said, I'm not going to do this again, you know.
Yeah. Okay, Mark, thanks for the call.
All right, Kevin, we'll talk to you later.
All right. Yeah, well. Okay, let's go to our next flash message, and it says, hi, Mr. Kevin. Let's see, this is from Kevin in Australia. Hi, Mr. Kevin Smith. Enjoyed the shows this week, mate. And will this one also, called the end of the, this so-called end of the world, will it take away the U.S. debt and all wars? Doubt it. Just a load of swamp gas. And what's your thoughts on this latest story on Roswell? Well, Kevin in Australia, I agree, it's swamp gas. I don't even think it's got that much substance. Okay, what are my thoughts about this latest story in Roswell? And we do need to get into that. There is a reporter named Annie Jacobson, who has now written a new book about Area 51. And for the past couple of days, it's been the darling and the buzz of the media, because, of course, it was written by one of their own. It has the most outlandish story in it that I have ever heard. I mean, this is this is even, I mean, you've heard the weather balloon story, you've heard the crash test dummy story, you've heard the mogul balloon array story. This one takes the cake. According to Ms. Jacobson, she has an inside source, a retired engineer who was put on this project to find all of the information and collect all the information about the so-called Roswell event. And according to her source, according to her, her source says that this thing that crashed in Roswell really did crash, and it really was not a balloon. What it really was a super high-tech aircraft that belonged to the Russians. And Joseph Stalin was inspired by the 1938 radio adaptation of the H.G. Wells story War of the Worlds. He was taken by how there was panic in the streets when that broadcast happened. So he decided to send this strange craft to the United States. And he decided, you know, to make sure that it crashed and to make sure that it started a panic in the United States. Why, if the radio show could do it, certainly a real craft like this could. And in addition to, I mean, this craft had a crew on it. And this crew was actually some children that Joseph Mengele had experimented on after the war for the Soviet Union. And so they looked very bizarre. And so he flies this craft by remote control. And we're going to examine all of this here in just a second. This craft was flown by remote control in 1947 into American airspace, across hundreds and hundreds of miles of American airspace, and it flew right up next to the only atomic-armed air wing on the planet. And then it crashed. Well, that's a load of horse pucky. I mean, come on. Jacobson, you know, really, honest to God, you could do better than this. Well, no, I don't know if you could. I've read some of your previous work, and it was kind of tabloidish as well. Look, we just finished World War II a short time before. We were excessively nervous about the Soviet Union developing atomic weapons. We had the only atomic-armed air wing on the planet. It's the air wing that dropped the atomic bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And they were stuck way out in the middle of the Southwest desert. They were in Roswell, just outside of Roswell, New Mexico. And they were out there for a good reason. They were out there, that's where they were stationed, because of security. You had to fly a long way to get to these guys. So anybody that wanted to target this air wing and take out this air wing had to come across a whole bunch of America in order to get to them. You see? They had radar. They had the most sophisticated radar of the time. In fact, they had that radar in 1946. But we're supposed to believe that Joseph Stalin was able to develop a craft. Now, see, so, there are people saying, well, it was one of the Horton aircrafts built by the Germans, which, by the way, was very advanced. Looked very similar to our stealth fighter. Very, very advanced. But remember that, you know, the top air intelligence officer at the time was Jesse Marcel. Jesse Marcel looked at this wreckage and he said, it's not from this world. So we're supposed to believe that, well, plus, if it had been a Horton, Jesse Marcel was familiar with the Hortons. He would have known that. So we're supposed to believe that Joseph Stalin and the Soviet Union built this aircraft that was so advanced, so really science fictiony, that the top air intelligence officer for the only atomic armed air wing on the planet, it fooled him, and he said, it's not from this world. But we're supposed to believe that Stalin and his boys built this. Furthermore, we're being asked to believe that they flew this across hundreds and hundreds of miles. When you go to Roswell, New Mexico, any way you get there, you fly across hundreds of miles of America. And we're supposed to believe that they flew across hundreds of miles of America to get to Roswell and were not spotted by nor challenged by any U.S. fighter planes. Furthermore, this story says they flew it by remote control. In 1947, remote control from where? Yeah, there was primitive remote control. We'll talk about that when we come back. Listening to the Kevin Smith Show, 2 days before the end of the world, here on Steel Eye Media Network. We're talking at this point about this story that reporter Annie Jacobson has published. She's published it actually in a book about Area 51, and it's supposed to sort of reveal the truth now about the Roswell incident. But like I said, come on, Annie, you could do better than this. We're supposed to buy the idea that Joseph Stalin and his crew were able to build a craft so advanced that the top air intelligence officer in the United States thought it was from another world. And we're supposed to believe that it had a crew, it had occupants that were really just children that had been horribly disfigured by Joseph Mengele. And we're supposed to believe that they flew this across hundreds of miles of the United States of America to get to Roswell without being detected or challenged by by any U.S. fighters. Now, that's asking us to believe a lot. But add to that the fact that she says her source tells her this plane, this craft, was being piloted remotely. Now, the question is, from where? Where could the Soviet Union be sitting with a remote control to fly this thing? Because in 1940, we can do it now. We can do that now. They can sit in Roswell, or they can sit in New York City, or they can sit in Miami, or any place. And because of satellites, they can pilot remotely, pilot unmanned aerial vehicles, UAVs. They can do that now because of satellites. There weren't any satellites in 1947. In 1947, there was not even Sputnik. And this thing was piloted remotely from freaking where? If it was being piloted remotely, it had to be someplace the person doing the controlling of it had to be someplace very near, because they had to be in radio contact with it. They didn't have satellites, so they had to be in radio range with it in order to pilot it remotely. So where was the Soviet Union sitting? Over at Santa Fe, New Mexico? Maybe they were sitting just outside the airbase there in Roswell. You think the Soviet Union was sitting there doing the remote piloting from there? If it was being piloted remotely, anything being piloted remotely, you had to be close to it. You couldn't set a world away and do it like you can now. So, this just goes way beyond belief. A lot of people, I get told this, people tell me this frequently. I am tired of hearing about Roswell. Well, look, Roswell is very much alive, because the lie is very much alive. And Roswell stands as a monument to a lot of things. First, it stands as a monument to the fact that the U.S. Air Force was forced to admit it had been lying for 50 years. But then they gave us another whopper. In place of the weather balloon, we got Project Mogul. And now, this is not the Air Force doing it. Now, we're getting little Joey Stalin did it. I think if the Air Force weighed in on this, I don't think they will, but if they did, I think the Air Force would be forced to shoot this down and say it's impossible. The technology didn't exist. What's being claimed here did not exist on Earth at that time. We didn't have satellites, and they couldn't sit in the USSR and pilot this thing. And, you know, it would have had to fly across hundreds of miles of America, and it was not detected, and it was not challenged by fighter planes all along the way, and it was allowed to get right up next to the only atomic-armed air wing on the planet. You know, okay, Annie, I'll trade you. I'll say your story is real if you'll prove to me the Easter Bunny's real. I mean, this is laughable. It really is laughable. But what isn't laughable is what the media has done with it. You know, she's getting on all the news shows, and they're talking to her quite seriously about this, and it's okay, you know. But now, when you have a raft of real witnesses that really saw what happened, who were really there, and remember, her source was not even claiming to have been there. Her source is from his exposure as an engineer, his exposure to the information in 1978. But when you try to get CNN or NBC, CBS, ABC, MSNBC, Fox News, you try to get any of these people to have a real conversation about the real testimony of the real witnesses who were there. Well, their position is, well, you know, the Air Force says the Roswell case is closed. But now here comes one of their own little darlings, a reporter, with the craziest cock and bull story you've ever heard. And she's the darling. And even though the Air Force says it's closed, let's put her on the show and give her a hearing. What do you think about that? 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. What do you think? Roswell is a monument to a lot of things. It's a monument to some tremendous investigative work that's been done by some very professional investigators over the years. It's also a monument to 50 years of lying and then covering that lie with a brand new one. The lie is still alive, so we should not be tired of hearing about Roswell. But I have to admit, I am tired of the nonsense that gets put out there about it. So what do you think about this Roswell thing? Do you think Annie Jacobson's story holds water? Do you think it's real? Do you think that Joseph Stalin and his scientists built a craft so advanced that it fooled the top air intelligence officer in America into thinking it was otherworldly? And furthermore, they flew it across hundreds of miles of America without being detected, without being challenged by the U.S. Army Air Corps. They got right up next to the only atomic-armed air wing on the planet, and then it crashed, and it was being piloted remotely in 1947, being piloted remotely by the Soviet Union. And when it crashed, it had some occupants that Joseph Mengele had made. So what do you think of this story? Maybe you think I'm being a little bit too tough on Annie Jacobson. Have you ever read anything else Annie Jacobson wrote? Well, you should. Well, maybe, I don't know. Yeah, you should. You ought to, just to get a flavor of it. Annie Jacobson wrote a couple of articles that talked about her experiences and fears of flying, being on an airplane. And there were these, one of her stories talks about there were these 14 Arab guys and on the plane, and she was pretty scared. And at one point, a bunch of them stood up all at the same time. And as it turns out, they were it was a musical group. They were musicians on their way to some place where they had a contract to play a gig. You know, she was talking about how terrified she was of that, and at one point she was asked, well, you know, did you really think they were terrorists? And her response was something like this. She said, well, if 19 guys, Arab guys, can learn to fly airplanes, don't you think 14 could learn to play instruments? Of course, what that implies is that because they were Arab, they should be suspected of being terrorists. That's, you know, that's crazy. Is it true that there are a number of terrorists of Arab ethnicity around the world? Yeah, that's true. Is it true that there are some terrorists who are European ethnicity? Yeah, that's true too. Should I be afraid to get on an airplane with a bunch of Europeans? What do you think? I just think that's a little, you know, it's paranoid at the least. It's in serious need of psychiatric help at the most, in my opinion. I've worked in a lot of places around the world. I've worked in places that were primarily Muslim. I've worked in places where people were not in majority white. I've worked in places where for most of the day I was the only white face. And, you know, if we allow ourselves to get paranoid because someone looks different than we do or they pray different than we do, and we get paranoid over that, and then we act out our fears, we end up doing the same things we're afraid they're going to do. And the truth is, in all the places I've been, the great majority of the people were fine, decent people. Were there some scumbags? Yeah. That's why I was there. I was a cop. I was there because there were scumbags. It was my job to keep them from harassing the decent people. But the great majority of the people were very decent, hardworking, good people with integrity. They didn't all have the same religion that I was used to. They didn't have the same skin color. But Annie Jacobson thinks that's a reason to fear. We'll be back. Okay, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We have a flash message from Jeff in Tasmania. I've got time for one more call. If you wish to call in, the telephone number is 623-444-5889. I'd like to know what you think about this story that Joseph Stalin did Roswell. Keep in mind, it's all about 1947. Advanced space aircraft that look like something from another world and being able to fly it by remote control from the USSR. But what do you think about that? You think her story holds water? I think it's bunk. But what do you think? Maybe I'm wrong. Jeff in Tasmania writes, Kevin, they're all wrong about Roswell. The UFO was shot down by a friend of Boyd Bushman's. It is in the following video that came with the K-Files today at the 25-minute mark. Yeah, you're right. Jeff, that is what it says. I watched that video. So that is what it says. Boyd Bushman says that it was shot down by a U.S. airman. But how did he get all the way, if it was from the USSR, where did it take off from? Wherever it took off from, it had to fly a whopping long distance to get to Roswell. And it had to fly across hundreds of miles of the United States of America undetected by the U.S. Army Air Corps. And you have to remember, this is shortly, just a few years after World War II, and we had people all over the country that had been trained to watch the skies. And if they saw something that was not ours, to alert. They had a system to alert the U.S. Army and the U.S. Army Air Corps and to alert the citizens. So, the whole country nearly was involved in watching the skies and making sure that what was up there belonged to the United States of America, because World War II was very much fresh on the minds of Americans. So this thing had to fly across hundreds of miles of the United States without being seen by any of these trained sky watchers, without being seen on any American radar, and not being challenged by any of the American fighters. And it got all the way to Roswell, New Mexico. Now, Boyd Bushman was the chief engineer for Lockheed Martin Skunk Works. And he says some very amazing things about scientific development, the true state of science. If you haven't seen that video, it is a link that's in the K-Files that went out today. And if you're a subscriber, you got it. So you want to be sure and watch that. But there's nothing about this story that Annie Jacobson wrote. Not one shred of what she wrote that rings true to me. Everything about it. Reads like fiction. I mean, the deal about remote control. Come on. Remote control from where? It had to be close. And that means this thing had to be launched into the sky from somewhere fairly close, because it was being remotely piloted. Well, I guarantee you they weren't remotely piloting it from the USSR. I guarantee you they were not, because there were no satellites. And without satellites, there's no way they could do that. There were no satellites of any kind up there. Not in 1947. Okay, now there's another thing that's supposed to happen this weekend. I told you it's going to be a busy weekend. There's a group, a hacker group, that most people had not heard of until the WikiLeaks episodes, the WikiLeaks saga. And when Julian Assange got arrested, in retaliation, there was a group of hackers that called themselves Anonymous that started attacking the computer systems of companies that this hacker group believed were in favor of Julian Assange being arrested. Okay, so this group is called Anonymous, and I am not really sure the source of this information, but I have seen it all over the internet, and you probably have too. But on May the 22nd, that's the next day after the end of the world, on May the 22nd, the hacker group Anonymous, according to the reports on the internet, plan a UFO invasion hoax. And what they plan to do is flood the various UFO websites and reporting groups, you know, groups that say they go out and investigate UFO sightings, like MUFON, like ICAR, and others. So they're going to flood their websites with reports of people having seen large numbers of UFOs. So I would suspect if this is a true and accurate report that's showing up out there on the internet, I would suspect that we're going to see a whole bunch of reports real soon, like on the 22nd into the 23rd, Sunday into Monday, of people having mass sightings. These are, you know, they're supposed to log in and fill out these reports. That's what they plan to do. Now, why? Well, the reports on the internet about this say they plan to sit back and chuckle at all the media hype over it. That tells you that that's a true waste of oxygen, isn't it? I mean, it really is. And if we have any of the anonymous folks out there, look, man, I'm not your enemy, but you guys are smart. Obviously, you're too smart for this. Don't become a waste of oxygen. Use your brain power for something real and something positive. This would just be a minor frustration for people in the UFO community. No big deal, really. But what a waste of brain power. Why don't you guys come up with something that will really, really, really benefit mankind? Pop it out on the internet. Get it out there where nobody can have proprietary claims on it. Something, you know, you guys are smart. Why don't you help us out with the free energy stuff, free energy technology? Doing stuff like this UFO hoax thing, that's way beneath you. So why don't you pop something out there on the internet that'll help the world? You know, that's what the UFO thing is all about. The whole UFO thing is all about the technology that could really help this world. And trying to uncover it, and trying to uncover the truth about it. So if you really want to do something with your brain power, which you obviously have, help us. My friends call me Steel Eye, my enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again for as long as we're here. Until next time, so long, everybody.